A wonderful warm welcome to this podcast episode, which is again with the beautiful Archie Del Rey, and we're going to talk about shadow work. But before we get started, I want to invite you to have a look at that link below the video or the podcast episode, which leads you to an entrance to a journey with me, a free journey. So we want to explore your health in all the beautiful holistic ways we have. So I feel like I'm studying that path down to my own health and did a lots of experience it as a triathlete and then as a health coach and a nutrition coach and a massage therapist and whatever, mental training, whatever I did, and then that energy work and trauma came up. So I'm combining all those things in my work and I want to support you with my masterclass. It starts at the 25th of October at 6 p.m. Berlin time, because I'm in Germany. So if you want to join from the Pacific coast, it's 9 o'clock. And just have that time or see it as a space for you. It's online via Zoom. You can just listen and you don't need to participate with a camera if you feel safer to be on your own. But maybe you just want to join us and explore what can support you on all levels. Whether with food, somatic practice, we do some nervous system work to regulate ourselves. We explore our breath, we explore our body, we do guided meditations. I hope it helps you. Feel free to join, and now we're going to start with that episode. A very warm welcome to Switzerland again, and I'm so happy that I have Archie Del Rey again in my podcast. This is like the second person I have, the second time. I talked already to Wiebke 3 times, so this is very special for me. Thank you that you are here today. And for all the audience outside, maybe you want to introduce yourself again, at least a little bit if you want to.
Thank you, Doris. Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm Archie. I'm a coach. I work mainly with solopreneurs, but actually with all kinds of people. My passion is emotional intelligence, especially in these absolutely crazy times that we live in. I'm trying to do my best to kind of preserve humanness in these times with coaching, online, offline events, publications that are all about being human.
And a wonderful podcast, which is called Bold Perspectives. And I really enjoyed that episode where you're talking about emotions and like the navigation, like it's like a navigation system, which is like need probably to reconnect with. So thank you for your work, Archie. And thank you as well that we have like so many things we probably could talk about. And I just had that idea to talk about shadow work today. And thank you so much that you are open for that. I would say non so highly appreciated topic.
It's a hard sell. That's what it is.
It's a hard sell. So I'm curious who's just like how the views are for that episode. So I remember that you said in the last episode that you like to define things. How would you define shadow work in your point of view?
Yeah, let's dive right in. This is what I would say is one of the biggest misconceptions, even among people who do shadow work, even among people who work on themselves and are on a spiritual path or work with a psychologist. Even among these people, I often see the same pattern, which is where we start judging.
Okay.
So which is where we say, ah, it's shadow, so it's bad. And even in German, the word shadow like shadow side of somebody
Yes.
means negative traits, basically. So in German, especially, but generally, it's such an easy thing to slip into, to say, yeah, my shadows are kind of the bad things about me. But really, what shadows are is just unconscious parts. So shadow is where the light doesn't come in, so it's dark in there, so you cannot see clearly. And we all have that, right? It's like that, these blind spots that we have about ourselves. It could be behavior, it could be thoughts, thinking patterns, like repetitive thinking. It can also be emotions, trauma, all kinds of things that we don't know, and that we, especially the things that we don't know, that we don't know.
I have a situation I remember when I was working with a client and she came into the room. And it was for me right away the feeling of, oh, she's very dominant. So she started to telling me right away like what to do. And then we went deeper into the session, and then she was telling about a person at work. She was really like pissed off. She really like didn't like that person at all. And we figured out that is because the person is very dominant. And it was so like right away to jump into that topic because in that moment she was not aware that she also has those sides and she like she radiates that. So and we talk about like the law of attraction that we attract those people. So it's like a magnet that they facing us or mirroring us something, and it's pretty much uncomfortable. And I'm really curious. So I guess you did lately a lots of shadow work too on yourself. Is there a something you have discovered inside of you that you say, oh, really? It was so much like triggering from the outside from people, and then you realize, oh, I pressed that down, or just like there is something I didn't want to see. Do you want to talk about that? Because like the personal experiences we have, how we discover that and how we face that and then working through that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
Let's dive
There's a
deep.
lot. Yeah, but this is like this is a very, very common thing, and not because we created that as a culture, but because this is a normal human, like this is healthy human behavior. This is why we survived as a species. Because we formed these tribal cultures based on trust, right? And trust in relationship enables us to give each other tough love, to give each other feedback that is not necessarily comfortable. And with that, we can improve and we can serve each other better. So that's an inherent mechanism of being a human tribe. And for me, for example, I think the most recent thing was, these people who are like, who kind of only care about themselves and are only out for themselves.
Yeah,
And you look at them in some situations and you're like, how can you like not just take 3 seconds? Like, it takes 3 seconds to put yourself into the shoes of some other person and just realize that somebody else has completely other needs and they're not like you. And like, why are you always like just thinking about yourself? And then, so most recently I found this same trait in myself as well, that I actually do that, like that I have parts in me that are so scared and so insecure about being human, like very in general, like about being an incarnated being.
Yes.
That these aspects of my subconscious are out for themselves. Like, they do not have capacity to think about others or to put myself into the shoes of others because they're just so scared. And I think that's an important point, that there's always a reason why we have these shadows. This is not random at all. And there's always some insecurity behind it.
Kind of a protection as well. Like you said, that we don't have capacity for that. And it's so cute because, like, we were talking about love in the last episode, and I just like that to point out that if we're talking about like love or acceptance, it needs capacity, but we also do need that capacity for ourselves. And if we don't have that for ourselves, and if we don't like expand that and we really can hold our emotions and be with us, just to be with it. And not trying to fix it so we can be probably better with other people and accept that and maybe finally love them and see them better and just like also through the shadow, yeah, seeing people through the shadow. And I remember in my, I would say, last longer employee job, I did all my trainings and then we did an exercise to figure out how can we explore our shadow parts. It was a really interesting exercise. You write down, let's say, three people you would take on a island and there is no one else, just you and those people. So who would you like take with you? So for me, it was very easy. And so then you look deeper and you look, what is it why you would take those people? Because you like them. You like the behavior, like probably the personality, like the energy. So those are the things we could say you probably like on you too. So, and then we had to write down like three people you would never take on that island because they trigger the hell out of you and you won't just like spend time with them because it's not nice, it's not comfortable. It's like, you know, no, just like, oh no, when I have those people like on that island. And then if you want to do that or the audience when you listen, just like write that down and write down what is it exactly what you don't like? What is it? The behavior, the character, the personality, what is it, what it's really triggering you? What you probably don't understand, what you feel like, so how can just like someone behave that way? And so I wrote down my former boss, and I absolutely did not like that he was so superficial. He was not like, for me, felt like he was not interested in all. We just like were sitting in that show fixes in that meeting, just like, okay, tell me, yes, just like not really present. And so, of course, I was also not present with things I really didn't want to do, or like people I felt like, oh, this is boring, whatever. So it was also inside of me. So he was in that kind of way, a mirror. But I realized also when you start working on those patterns and you get in peace with it, you also get in peace with those people. So maybe not to the full. I never managed that with my boss, but with some other colleagues, I really did that. And just like I quit for my self-employment and then we hugged and like everything was like, there was just a connection. I think this was what happened, the shift was, and there was a real connection. So if we overcome our shadows, probably we can have better connections.
Yeah, and it's not. Can I say something
Of
here?
course,
It's
of course.
this is a perfect exercise, and just want to give a little distinction for anybody who is kind of new to this, or actually even some of the advanced people. Like the resolution is never in trying to fix a shadow. Like never try to fix a shadow. Because the shadow is always more powerful. Every shadow has training behind it. Every shadow has a protector part inside your psyche. Like the conscious part of me that recognizes a shadow and thinks it's bad is the tip of the iceberg. It's the 1% of everything inside of me. So the 99% will always be more powerful. So this is about relationships. This is about relating,
About
relate.
like listen to episode number 41.
Yeah, this is literally about contact, about peace negotiations. It's like when two countries have been fighting, the fight may be obvious, like a visible war, or it might be like a cold war, like an invisible war. And there is a time when two countries hopefully decide to start talking to each other and try to find peace. And how do you do that? The first step is always trying to understand the other party. And this is the same thing that we do in hopefully in our relationships and also with this relationship in myself. So when I recognize a shadow,
Yes.
I need the first thing is I need to try to understand it.
I would say for me is that I accept that. So I feel like if I'm aware of it, maybe the first step, and then really to accept that, and then that can takes time because we don't want to be like that. So
Yes, and acceptance has always two stages, right? There's one acceptance, which is the opposite of denial, because usually we are in denial about our shadows. We're about, no, this is the others, not me, right?
like a
So,
resentment, like a baby.
yeah. So once the first step of accepting is like, okay, I have a shadow. It's like the first step in the Alcoholic Anonymous program is to admit you have a problem. So it's like that's the one.
That awareness, like
Yeah,
that
yeah.
awareness, like
Yeah, exactly. And the other acceptance is not actually is actually not a conscious thing that you can do. It's more like a result of doing the work of trying to understand. So when I try to understand that part of me, where it comes from, why it acts like this, why it thinks like this, why it feels like this, then as soon as I understand it, I automatically get into acceptance. This is the result of the work. This is the result of the negotiation.
What pops up at the word, like also compassion. To have compassion with that it's maybe sometimes also a survival strategy because we don't have capacity for that, but we need to work through the day and to like through our daily lives like that. I did also in the past a meditation technique, more than less, and it was like really going deep down in your system. And just like waiting for the shadow that it can come. So maybe you need someone to hold space for that. Maybe you want to just like record a meditation on your own. Maybe you want to just try it just to get in touch with that. And then something really magical happened because that shadow just like transformed into a gold shining angel. Just like tears were just like running on my face. It was just like that really wonderful transformation. And that I deeply understand that it was here to protect me. So, what else could help, guys, is if you just like have a picture or you have whatever, maybe a person or whatever, and you put it somewhere in the room really far away, you feel not maybe anxious about that, or that you feel like comfortable, and then you can look if it's like coming closer and you can really get like having, as you said, like to have that connection. Or you can try to describe that. How tall is it? What does it look like? What's the color? And that's the moment when you really get in touch and you just like to do that again and again. And then probably it starts to transform by you just like get in touch with it. So those are for me the magical moments when you want to do the shadow work. Do you have any other ideas? And I also do remember that we had a little chat last week. And we already like talked about the definitions, and then you said we don't have not only the shadow parts, we have like parts we don't like. So just like to distinguish that. So do you wanna go in that way, or do you wanna add some techniques or tools or just exercises to come closer? So where you wanna go?
Yeah, I mean for the beginners out there, I would always do that with another person.
Yes.
Because in the beginning because this is not, even if you are enthusiastic about fixing your shadows, you will not like them. Like me, after doing this work for 15 years, I don't like them.
Okay.
Like this is normal. This will never change. So yeah, if you are advanced, of course there is or advanced? What does advanced mean?
What
If
does
you are,
everything? Yeah.
if you have experience and you have done it a few times, then of course there is techniques you can do for yourself. But I would say even outside of like formal psychology or healing work, shamanic work, and all these things, just a simple talk with a friend, with somebody who you can trust. Just sit down and be like, hey, can we just talk about how do you perceive me, like in this and that situation? Like, what am I, how do I come across? And then they will be like, no, you're fine, everything is good. But then, no, but really. And after a few minutes, they might be like, you know, when I'm really honest, there is this thing that I kind of recognize a long time, and it's kind of uncomfortable to talk about. And if you kind of invite that, you know, invite the discomfort, it can get so much easier. And yeah, just to me, this process is kind of a bit like taming wild animals. You know what I mean? But because it's in the shadow, it doesn't want to be seen. And it has its reason why it doesn't want to be seen, because at some point in your childhood or whenever, it was not safe, right?
It's so
So,
funny. Yeah. Sorry.
yeah, so it's a bit like a wild fox sitting in that hole. And now you are here outside of that hole, and you know it's in there. It's dark, you cannot see it, but you know it's in there. And now you're like, okay, can I put something to eat? Will it come out? Do I have to come closer? Do I have to give it even more distance and space? This is about pacing. This is about figuring out the right tactics to kind of tame a wild animal. And sometimes it really needs a lot of space, and you have to back off, and as soon as you get pushy, it will just protect itself more.
Yeah, it's a
And
funny.
sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes it needs closeness because it was lacking closeness in the first place. And then you need to come really close and be very loving and gentle and abundant with your love, and then it opens up. So finding the right tactics is the art of shadow work.
Maybe like a child you have on your side and you just like want the best for the child and just like have a look what's like needed right now. What's the need? Probably maybe also the question, what's like the need behind? So like that. And so funny because when you started talking about taming, just like I felt like, oh, whoa. It's triggering inside of me. I don't want to be tamed, you know, just like already just like went my system into like, no. So isn't that funny? Just like a word can trigger us. So, do you want to talk about that? Like again, that definition that we have that also like the shadow part and also like that parts we don't like, we can probably also change. Maybe like behavior stuff or things like maybe we're not really like reliable, whatever. So there are things really that we can change. They don't need to be aware and like transformed. Because probably it's just like a bad behavior. So, how do you know what is a bad behavior and what is shadow?
Yeah. I mean, one easy answer to that is people will tell you, or you will notice by the results that you have in your life. The other answer is you always have both. Like when I don't know, let's take an example of somebody who is considered an angry person, like an aggressive person who is loud, who is rude, who is like, you know, not a pleasant, not pleasant company. This person at some point will most probably hate themselves for that and want to change, because they will see results again, and they will get feedback from the outside world. They will see that they will not have friends, or that they will only have friends that they can like fight with, but never have like a peaceful time together, you know? So, right, because the outside world reflects all that to you. Maybe they will also at some point see other people, and attract people into their life who are really aggressive, like even much more than them. like violent people,
Yeah.
and they will think very negatively out of them. And this is what you shared before. This is like the outer world will reflect to you which parts are you suppressing inside of you. You will also try to push them back and out of your life outside of you, so in reality. And then when they start working on this, you need to somehow like do whatever you need to do to get, even for just a minute, getting to this state of unconditional acceptance. Just be like, okay, this situation is bad enough that I will consider, even though I hate myself for being so angry, I
Oh,
would
yeah.
just for a moment consider the thought that it might be a good thing that I am. That it might, like at some point it has to make sense, otherwise it would not be like this. Like our reality is not random, like nothing is random about this reality, especially about human traits. There's always a story behind every trait. So then I sit there and then I'm like, okay, what does this angry part of me trying to tell me? Like, what is it trying to do? Like, it is trying to protect my space, right? It is trying to protect myself. Okay, why? And some people, even at this point, already will burst into tears and realize how unsafe they felt their whole childhood, for example. This is just one way it could go, but generally it's about really taking that, like being at that crossroads, for hate myself or accept myself, and give yourself permission to just allow that the train of thought to go into the direction of, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this is right. Maybe it's not wrong. And see where that takes you, because that's the road where you can work with the shadow, you can understand the shadow, you can heal the feelings and the trauma that is connected to that. And that kind of roundabout, in a roundabout way, brings you back into, okay, you hated this about you, you wanted to change it. One morning you wake up and you don't have it anymore. Not because you hated yourself enough and tried to force the change, but because you accepted yourself and went for a walk with that part and
Yeah.
had a friendly conversation with it and made friends with it and integrated it into your life. And now there's nothing to hate anymore because it's you. In the end, it's you.
So cool. I was just thinking about a situation when we talk about relationships. A little story of mine that I always had, like also long-term relationships, there were really, I would say, no fights, no, just like no getting loud, no, so really stressful situations that I always felt safe. And then I had that knee accident, and then I wasn't aware that I'm traumatized, and I had a ex-partner, and I had exactly that situation that he, like, I guess he was like my first shadow partner. And I was so, I just like, I was screaming at him. I never did that before. It was like, what is this? What is here like coming up? I was really like, felt like my mom, which is like, cause like, what is this? And it was also inside of me. So he helped me to look deeper, and for me was not to stay in that relationship because it was not, it was too much dysregulating, but just like have a look at it. And there were just like actually like I would say like three men who really mirrored me, that those shadow parts and also that parts, because I always could deal with sadness. So for me it was normal to be sad like as a teenager and write my poems, and so sadness was probably allowed, but being really aggressive was not allowed. My mom suppressed it probably, and my dad, it was dangerous because if he got just like got aggressive, like it could happen that you just like hit me. So, and then I started to look deeper, and then you exactly you have that moment that you don't want to be like this, because it's, oh my God, just is like in Germany would say like a Furie. I don't know that English expression. Was like what is this? So, but that's not the solution. So to come really closer to that part, and also to what I do, I speak out what's inside of me when I'm alone here in my apartment. I just like I say what's right now, and I feel like it's like getting better, and also like the sentences in my head and the thoughts, they get better, they change itself. So don't need like a technique, just to have like a bad belief system and then I put it into a positive affirmation. No, it happens just by awareness and just like to feel it and let it be there. And I can tell out of experience it can take years, so for me. But the cool thing is that, yeah, you accept yourself more. And you also learn. I remember that you had the navigation system when we talk about anger, that it's also important that you draw your boundaries and that it comes into a balance that really that emotion can navigate you. So it's not like too harsh coming out. So, and what also pops up, we were talking about like being like probably a dominant person, and I was always the people pleaser. And then with one person, I figured out, wow, I really seem to have a suppressed part who really wants to tell people what to do. I mean, I'm self-employed. I never liked that when I did my training for a job and people just like pushed me around. I didn't like that. Even when I was a kid, like my mom told me what to do in house, and I didn't like that. Just like, can I just make my own decisions? So yeah. So and to accept that. And then we have both sides, or there's more. We have like so many, like a buffet of what we are, and to accept all of that. And I remember that we were talking about that story you had in mind. It was a parable, like that you don't know if it's good or bad. Like we judge, oh, this is bad and this is good. Do you want to talk about that wonderful story?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's funny that it was told to me very recently, and it's funny that you had it on your mind as well. And
Yeah, I was read
yeah.
that in my yoga classes like a couple of years ago. So it was like it's like the
Yeah.
Shavasana stories after yoga class.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I will tell you my own version of this
yes.
story, because I have a parable from my own life where I was working for an educational project where we would do camps with it was called Youth Solar. It was organized by Greenpeace, and it was about promoting solar energy, and it was about educating kids basically at school in like camps on how the solar energy works, and we would build a whole solar roof together with the kids. It was a very fun time, and usually at the end of the build, we would invite like local companies, we would invite local politicians, like important people, and to kind of show them and create a bit of publicity for the whole thing. And we were on one of these camps, and we were struggling to get the local politicians involved. And then one day, I was driving with a few of the kids and few of the co-workers in a van, and while pulling out from a parking lot, I did not see the car behind me that was parked behind me, and I full-on blasted into his door.
Oh.
And I had this moment where like where your mind starts racing and it creates all these scenarios. So obviously this is a Like this is a, an objectively bad situation, right? So nobody would go down the road of this is good, right? So I was with the things I was thinking was like, do I have the right insurance for this? Will I go bankrupt because I just destroyed a car behind me? How will the project go? Will we get bad publicity now because like a Greenpeace co-worker just crashed the car? There's all these like things going on in my head. What happened next is the guy, the car owner, was actually one of the people who were work like he was a local politician. And we were parking right next to the local like whatever like place where they have these meetings and stuff. So he was I had a conversation with an angry person for about 5 minutes. The first thing he said was he had actually fixed his car because he had a similar thing 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
I was like, okay, this could not get worse. And 5 minutes later, he was like, who are you guys? Like, what are you doing actually? And he got interested, and this whole thing ended up with him being at our promotion event,
But cool.
like the completely roundabout way, and the insurance paid the whole thing, and we forgot about it, you know? So what initially was like objectively bad ended up as being something objectively good. And this is why you just never know. Like like when you have a response like this, when I invite you now to do shadow work and be like, okay, what's the best, like, what's the worst trait that you have? Write it down on a piece of paper. Then on the next line, write down, here are 30 reasons why this is actually a good thing. And then you list down 30 reasons why this is good. And if you react to this, be like, no, nothing is good about my shadows.
I
You
do
never
love
know. Truth is, you never know. You just don't know.
That's exactly how it is. And that reminds, thank you so much for sharing. And that reminds me that life is a flow and that there is no stop sign. And I do also think or believe that we are raised like this, that we need a result. So it's like just like a quick shortcut, like that we can probably that we know the end, but it's not the end. And I love that German idiom which is about so like that all good is that in the end is all good. And if it's not like good, it's not the end, you know what I mean? So it's like I think there also comes trust in life. That you probably have goals or you have wishes, and then your unconscious system like is scanning all the time and support you. And then, so just in my case, I do sometimes I feel like, why I'm going to do this? And I do it anyway because it feels like it's needed to be done. And then I figure out later on why. And it's not nice all the time, guys. I can tell you, it feels like really. Not what people say, this is logical or it does make sense. Yeah, probably it does not make sense now, but maybe on a higher perspective, it will all make sense. Finally.
Yeah, just maybe just to give some orientation, there is, of course, it is a constant flow. Of course, it is super different for everybody. Like some people just have like a handful of traumatic experiences. That's all they have. Some people have like thousands of splits in their consciousness, and it takes them a lot of work to integrate that. But there are some moments that I consider kind of like archetypes of shadow work. So some milestones where you at some point will end up like inevitably. What the first one I would say is the one where you realize that shadow work is actually possible. This is a very, like for me, this was a very, very empowering moment, because this is when I realized I'm not doomed to like having the same patterns and having the same kind of life. I can actually change things about myself, and with that, change the trajectory of where my life goes. So I'm not like, for example, I used to be super shy, like so shy, like I was invisible. Happens like a few months of shadow work later. I'm facilitating workshops with 80 people, and I'm super comfortable about it. So this stuff is possible. So that's like one milestone. Then you kind of get addicted to it. Then you're like, okay, I'm gonna heal the shit out of me.
Give me more shadow portion.
Yeah, but you get really like, oh, there's
Yeah.
fire, let's go. And at some point you get exhausted, and at some point you'll be like, why am I doing this? Like, is this now the point of my life, like to do shadow work, and who is paying me for that, you know? So there's this second typical point that I would say is the point of exhaustion, or point of where you start to question it and you want to kind of navigate away of it. And it's also a very good thing because one of the shadows of shadow work is the belief that you can only learn through pain and hard work. And this is not an inherent truth of this universe. So at some point you're like, okay, I can actually have a good life without working on myself constantly. This is also possible. So how about that? Like, how would my life be? You know, and you start to kind of reevaluate that thing again. You're like, okay, I know I learned 10 years ago that I can change my life. Now I'm learning that I don't have to, right?
So you must
So
more.
that's, yeah, that's another milestone, very big. And I would add a third one. A third one is when you still, even though you kind of maybe even learn to hate it because you've done so much of it already, you still go on doing it and you realize, ah, this is actually not necessarily me fixing myself because something is wrong about me. But this is actually my soul or higher self or God or whatever you want to call, like the eternal part of you, actually guiding me to do the things that I intended to do with this incarnation. So the biggest pains that we have in our lives are actually, and even biggest trauma, are actually setups. Like they are set up from by our eternal part to give us a bit of guidance and into our priorities. So the fact that I learned so much of like emotional intelligence stuff that I'm now teaching people is just because I was super traumatized growing up into a emotionally illiterate family and society, right? So my biggest pain that I was trying to fix for years, I ended up thinking about it in a completely different way now because I'm not trying to fix it. This was just my guidance telling me that this is what I should work on because
Yeah,
this is important for me.
amazing. Yeah, and you also mentioned when we were chatting that not to forget about enjoy life, to find a balance in between working on like yourself. And I remember that for me, it happens in phases, like in phases of my life when I feel like, okay, now I have to do the work, and now I'm just like, I don't want to do it. I just like want to enjoy life, and I don't care. And also, like you said, that I have also in me that like my trial and past always to fight, and it's hard, and it's like a race and a competition, that things can go easier. And to allow myself that it can be easier. And it's funny how fantastic intentions are. So. And probably to remember you again on your intentions,
Yeah.
like. Again and again.
Totally. Yeah. Let me just expand on this for our listeners because let's do some piece work here because there see it seems often that there is like almost like two camps. There's one camp that is like, have you seen The Secret? You just have to write positive affirmations. You just have to focus on what you want and you will get it. And how these people talk about the shadow workers are like, ah, these are just digging. They're just digging, and who digs will find, you know? One camp, one camp, not judging, one camp. The other camp is these other guys are all just delusional. They are denying their own shadows. We are the ones who are doing the work, right? And so there is shadow again to both camps, and there is truth in both. And the ultimate way, if you want to integrate both, is a dance. It's that
Or the yin
go.
yang, you know, like have like the black and the white, and also in the black the white, and in the white the black, that is like
Yeah,
consistent.
it's a dance. In the end, it's like you have to ask yourself, am I being really honest? because there are moments in my life where I'm trying to focus on my intentions and trying to build and trying to be positive. And then I have to admit, I'm just kidding myself because I'm running away from something that I do not want to confront. And I sugarcoat it all with positive intentions, you know? But what I'm actually supposed to be doing, if I'm really honest, is shadow work, because there is a part of me that is very, very hurt and it just needs attention, because, and I need to just go and feel some pain. That's one situation. Another situation is I find myself here doing work on myself, and I'm again sugarcoating it with I'm working on myself, I'm being honest to myself, I'm not faking anything, I'm being real here. But what I'm doing is I'm just digging and I'm just addicted. And I cannot accept that that there's just work to be done, different kind of work, like meeting real people and doing real like making your hands dirty, you know. And I'm sitting here and doing guided meditations, you know. So what I should do in that moment is, when I'm really honest, is go here, be clear about why am I doing all of this, and just go for it and stop trying to fix myself. So there is a trap in both, and there is gold.
And also, what I would love to add is that I just enjoy to be with people, not all the time, but my system tells me now it's important as a self-employed to go out to be with people, because then it's the point when the co-regulation happens. It doesn't happen when you are with yourself. Also, you can go in nature and being with trees. But I think when we're talking about shadow work, a tree wouldn't will never trigger you. So there is always peace. So you probably need people. And I feel just like so refreshed and like, yeah, that the shifts happen just like when I'm talking with friends. Because I would say I have great friends because they are aware of all those things and we can discuss things. But just like to be with someone and yeah, that's it. So it's not like that fancy, complicated stuff, just like what we do maybe for centuries, that we just be in a tribe and be with people. You can just like talk about things. You just talk. It's very simple. It doesn't cost any money and not much effort, just like to be with and to talk. So also thank you for your time that we had that chance to talk. And I feel like we have like a good package for the audience. Is there something you want to add, or is there something which is like important to you? For me, it's like when we face those shadows and probably my anger or suppressed anger, I feel like sometimes, okay, where's then the point that I can really trust that emotion? In that sense, that it's really healthy, also like to go outside with it and to let me guide from anger and sadness and joy. You know what I mean? Because I feel like when we suppress things, it's like then it comes up maybe like a volcano because it's being seen, and so it you have we have like to bring all those things like in balance. It's like a maybe you know that. Team phases we have, like when we get into a team, and then your suppressed parts and they pop in, and you have new parts in your team, and you have that storming phase because, like, we need to figure out, okay, what's your place here, and how we can we work together. So I like that the process we have, like in business with like normal teams, but I feel like we also have a team inside of us. So we suppress the angry part and then it pops in, and then like the whole team is like, oh, what's going on here? We need like to reorganize ourselves, and that reorganization process probably can take a little bit time. So do you have advices, tips for that?
Yeah, this is a very important point. Like, generally with emotions, with especially suppressed emotions, we tend to overswing in the healing process. So somebody who has been shy their whole life when they get into the healing process, it happens often that they overswing to the other side and get really annoying for a moment. And that's just healthy. Like it's like riding a bike. In the beginning, you are really clumsy about it. And just not to expect ourselves to be perfect, even in that healing process. So take the perfectionism out of it, take the high expectations a bit lower. And then it's all about safety. Like it's about having a safe container, because that's what, like, emotional safety is everything. It's like it's changes. When you do not have emotional safety, or sometimes also called psychological safety, then you're basically stuck in, like, in the prison of your emotions. And as soon as you feel safe, things start to move. Because when you feel safe, you start expressing stuff. When you start expressing stuff, you start feeling more. When you start feeling more, you start recognizing your own thought patterns. When you recognize your own thought, like it all comes into this flow and movement. And this is all emotions need. Like the emotions, this is a very common misunderstanding nowadays. A lot of people, like emotional intelligence experts, define emotional intelligence as the ability to manage your own emotions. And I can tell you one thing, emotions do not need management. That's the last thing that emotions need. They need permission to flow. And that permission comes from the very subjective feeling of safety. So you need to find, for that specific person, for that specific situation, how does emotional safety look like?
Thank you so much. And you were talking about safety, and I was talking about that impulses I follow, they doesn't make not sense. And it seemed to be bad, and then it's not bad because it makes sense. I always have the rule that my nervous system goes first. So, like, am I safe? So I'm working a lot with my inner child, and if like, or the teenager who is probably a rebel, he was not allowed to be a rebel. So now I'm working with my teenager, and I just like I talk to them. Is that okay for you? And I have a, if I have a go or I feel safe enough, then I'll do it. So I don't do like anything. Like to like have in mind safety first.
Yeah, that's perfect. Like we tend to want to heal so badly that we bulldoze over our safety, and then we're like, I will sit for hours with this therapist, you know? But if that child, like inner child part of me, does not feel safe in the presence of that therapist, I need to switch to another
I
therapist.
already have
End of
that.
story. Not even ask why. It just, if it's not safe, it's not safe.
I
So
already have
Yeah,
that.
just put yourself, and when you figure out you have an inner rebel, now you need to find friends or therapists or any kind of settings where that inner rebel feels safe to show itself.
Yes.
And then it can show, and then it can overswing, and it all will be okay, and it will be fine, and you will kind of start working with it and get used to it. And then you can show it into, like, you can bring it along into other situations that are potentially more dangerous, but because you're used to it now,
Yeah, and that's
then
the training. So that's
it's training you.
exactly for me the training where we also start when we have anxiety and then we feel more safe and then we probably won't put ourselves into dangerous situations and then we start slowly. Maybe for someone else it's not dangerous at all, but for me some things are dangerous and then I feel like okay, but I want to do it. And those moments where my inner child says, yeah, So that's really cool. And then you have hopefully good experiences, and then you have your neuroplasticity that working, like building new connections, and then you can like go ahead. Thank you so much.
That was fun. Thank you
It
as well.
was fun, and I have, I think, hundreds of ideas we could talk about in the future, but please let the audience know where they can find you.
You can find me,
Yeah.
if you want to like learn more, check out the podcast, Bold Perspectives with Archie Del Rey is on all the podcast platforms. Or you find it on archidelray.com. You can also find and contact me on Telegram or on LinkedIn or on Facebook.
Pretty cool. Thank you again. Mahalo in Hawaiian. And danke, Switzerland, so to Switzerland. And I wish you really a great day and all the best of luck for you.
Thank you, Doris, and good time to everybody. Take care.